greetings to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the rush hour traffic of Sri Lanka. Yes. I love the drive times with you guys. It's been a long time since, you know, we've actually done like a series that we need to finish off, just kind of the traditional preaching audios. But you know, something that we found is that, you know, God's got his way of working through anything and everything. And one of the biggest things, one of the most important things, is just to be available and just to be willing and allow him to do what he wants to do in and through you, period. You know, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to have all your pieces together. You just give him all of yourself that you know. A brother in Christ one time told me, super advice, he said, Govinda, he said, you just give as much of yourself as you know to as much of God as you know, and he'll always meet you right there. It's true. You know, give 100% of yourself, of who you are, who you know, who you understand, just your entire being into his hands, and as to as much of him as he has revealed unto you, and he will meet you right there. And in that process of him meeting you, he will reveal things to you, he will show things to you, his glory will be your rear guard. You will know and understand and be released into his plan and purpose that he intends for your life. Now, that plan and purpose is not is not rainbows and sunshine and frolicking through green fields. No, it's real, it's raw, it's gritty. It's a whole set of life experiences that are full and heartbreaks. And you know what? And yes, occasional you do get joy and success and the ability to actually see certain things happen and to realize the fruits of your labors. But you get a real life, an abundant life. You know, that process of experiencing and understanding, you know, an abundant life is, you know, it's a progression. You know, I think one of the challenges that we've always had is that, you know, people were brainwashed to think that, you know, the moment that you come to Christ, that all of your problems go away. You know, it doesn't work like that. You know, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the ones that were following him. You know, what Jesus says is that, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. Take heart, because, you know, the one that you follow and the one that's in you, in him you live and move and have your being. Or in him, sorry. In him you live and move and have your being. Yeah, that, the author and the finisher of your faith, Christ Jesus, in that place that you exist, the place of peace, because though the world may be swirling around you, falling apart around you, struggling around you, though in the middle of that, there's peace. What is that peace that passes all understanding? The stillness of your soul. That though the world may try to destroy you, devour you, you just hold on. You just go forward in what it is that God's revealed of himself and the will that he's revealed to you. You go forward in that, and he will take care of you. He will be miraculous in your case and in your stead. You know, I look at this last year. Like I said before, tough year in a different way. Tough year in a way that, You know, every year, every couple of years for myself, has had incredible challenges, but in different ways. You know, sometimes they've been physical challenges, sometimes they've been mental challenges, sometimes spiritual challenges, sometimes, you know, I mean, the struggles that I have right now as a person walking through this life are very different than the types of struggles that I had a few years back. You know, but I've learned some amazing things. And the struggles that I face right now, you know what? They're what it is that God knows I need to face right now. He will not allow you to be tempted and tested beyond what you can bear. So if you've got it, that means by His grace you can handle it. What is grace? Grace, all right, the definition within some of the teachers that I've had in the past, grace is the omnipotent power of God working on our behalf. So God's unlimited power, omnipotent power, working on our behalf. That is the grace of God. So God's grace is sufficient for you. His grace will carry you through. Now, that's another one too. Mercy, that's not necessarily guaranteed. God said, I will be merciful on him that I have mercy. So, you know, his grace, yes, that's there. His mercy, hey, if he wants to be merciful to you, he will. But if not, you're in trouble. Because if you are left to the consequences of all of your stupid choices, if I was left to the consequences of all my stupid choices, I would be in trouble. I would be in trouble. But he's merciful, you know. But the thing about mercy is that, look, if he's merciful, praise God and thank him, but you know what you deserved. I know what I deserved. You know, look, you know, this whole thing about people having this feeling of entitlement, that, you know, the world owes me this, God owes me that. Look, the only thing that we are owed when we're born into this world is death. Period. That's the only thing that we are owed. The wages of sin is death. That's what we were owed. That's what you were owed. That's what I was owed from the moment that we came into this life. So, you know, when people get mad, upset, angry about all these things, look, if you went by what it is that we are truly owed, you should just be grateful that you have a breath in your nostrils right now, because that is a gift compared to what it is that you were owed. And you can use that breath to praise God or to curse Him, to hurt people or to help them, to bless them. Bless those that hurt you. Pray for those that persecute you, that spitefully try to use you. Do that. Oh, do that. You know why? Because it is like heaping coals on their head when you do things to help them. It's, you know what? If you want, you know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? Okay. Scriptures say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. All right. And so, in order to facilitate what it is that he's talking about too, just do what he tells you to do. Bless those that persecute you. Pray for those that spitefully use you. Do that. Because there's part of God's vengeance is in that. Did you know that? Part of God's vengeance is in that. When the people that have hurt you, have harmed you, have attacked you, have shot at you, when you bless them, when you do something to try to help and assist them, that it actually does something that sometimes facilitates their very repentance, and it sometimes brings incredible conviction. You know, Richard Wurmbrand, he was a man that blessed those that persecuted him, that hurt him. He prayed for those that were doing bad things to him when he was in prison in Romania. You know, his jailers, the bad things they did, he would pray for them, bless them, allow the Spirit of God to work through them. Saved a lot of them. Christ Jesus saved a lot of them. And likewise, you know, for you and I, you know, avoid the temptation to get into your flesh in how you respond to people that hurt you. Avoid that temptation. Don't let that become your method of operation. Don't. Because if you do, it's going to rob you. If you do, it's actually going to take away from what God's intending with those people. Look, when somebody attacks you as a child of God, they mark themselves. They mark themselves unto their own destruction. It's a scary thing. That's one reason why I try to bless those that try to hurt me. I try to pray for those that try to do bad things against me. I really do. Because of the fact that I know that if they mark themselves, I don't take joy and pleasure in the destruction of other people's lives. I don't. You know, I feel bad. That's just kind of my wiring. But at the same time, you know, I also recognize that, you know, this world is, you know, there's a lot of destruction, death, pain, and all that stuff's going on around us. And, you know, if you line up against the wrong thing, you're in trouble. And if you line yourself up against the hand of God, you're in trouble. So it's the need for people is to understand that you are marked for God. Because for the worlder, for the smart worlder, they realize very quickly, look, don't touch this one. If you touch this one, you're done. For the stupid worlder, they'll still try. And when they try, they experience the consequence of going after and seeking to hurt and to harm and to destroy one of God's children. They experience that consequence. And the hope and the prayer should be that they would receive Christ and be saved. So the jailer in Acts 16 that was hurting Paul and Silas, the prayer for him is for his salvation. Now, you have to be in a place spiritually, and this is the work of the Spirit of God in you, that you have to submit yourself unto, where you can allow for the very person that was ripping open your back with a whip, for you to be able to turn around and bless that person, minister to that person with the gospel, and see them and their entire family come to Christ and welcome them with open arms. You know, rather than saying, you know, oh, this guy hurt me, this guy harmed me, and now he's just drawn his sword to kill himself. All right, let's let him kill himself. Let's let him watch. Yeah, he hurt me, so now I'm going to let him hurt himself. Yeah, think about that. Think about that situation. Here's Paul and Silas in the jail, thoroughly worked over, singing praises and hymns unto God. The jail cells break open, all the people's bonds are loosed, and now in that process of that whole thing happening, because the rule, you know, back then with the Romans was, look, if you lose a prisoner, life for life. You know, if you lose somebody that you're given charge over as a Roman soldier, your life now is required for theirs. So that's why they did not lose prisoners. And so when the jailer saw that the doors were open and the thought of having lost everybody, he pulled out his sword about to kill himself. Now, if Paul and Silas had a hateful bone in their body, and listen here too, if they did not have the Spirit of God in them, they would have. If they didn't have the Spirit of God at work in them, they would have. They would have, if they didn't have the Spirit of God working in them, when those doors were open and they saw that man was about to do himself harm, and they remembered the hurt and the harm that he had done to them, their response would have been, you know what? Let him kill himself. He hurt me, now let him be hurt. He damaged me, so now let him be damaged. He did bad to me, so now let me allow him to do bad unto himself. Oh my gosh, yes. But what did the Spirit of God inside of them compel them to do? He said, don't do it. We're all still here. And because of that, God saved them. God saved that jailer because of that. Saved him and his family. If vengeance was Paul and Silas's rather than the Lord's, then that man would have perished along with his whole family. There would have been no salvation for that house. There would have been no salvation for that jailer. And Paul and Silas would have folded their hands smugly and said, he got what he deserved. He hurt me. Now this is what happened to him. No, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, something changes. Your heart is softened. You want to see the blood of Jesus applied to the lives of all people. You want to see none perish, but that all would have everlasting life. That is your heart's desire. And that's what you look for. That's what you pray for. You know, I had an interesting experience the other day. Actually, it's about, I think, 2 days ago. But I met a guy that lives in Amsterdam, who's from Nigeria, lives in Amsterdam, and he was was somebody that was listening to Faith Mix, and I met him out and about, and he recognized my name, and he was the place that he had recognized it from, it wasn't just straight from this site. We got a brother in Christ out there who, you download the audios and you put pictures to them and you post them up on YouTube. And he had checked the audio from a secondary source. Brother, we're grateful that you do that. If you're listening to this right now, we're grateful that you do that out there. Hey, no copyright on anything that we do. Copy it right. Put it out there. Bless the people. Let the message go on. But just, that you don't know what is going to happen with whatever you do under the guidance and the leadership of the Spirit of God. You don't know. You really don't. So just do what God has for you to do and let things be what they are. Because the amazing set of links from and the audio that he talked to me about, that one guy in particular, was a message that was preached years ago in Sri Lanka, that was preached at a service, an evening service, posted online literally years ago at this point. And so it was preached at a service, posted online, listened to by a lot of people over the years, downloaded by a brother in Christ, and reposted as an audio with video clips as well, or with picture clips as well. And that was then listened to by a brother in Christ from Nigeria, living in Amsterdam, visiting Sri Lanka, doing his master's. Okay. You don't know what God's going to do with whatever you do. But just be led by His Spirit and allow things to be what they are. You don't got to figure it out. You really don't. You know, the desire that people have to have a blueprint for everything, just let that go. You know, God doesn't give you a blueprint for life. He gives you a map and a compass. He says, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, we live in an amazing time. And at this time that we live in right now, there's certain things that we can do that are incredible. I mean, there is no time in the history of mankind where a guy can be driving around in his truck during rush hour traffic, speaking the word that God gives, and then it get sent out to the entire world, and people listen to it all over the world, and it bless and encourage the people. But we can do that kind of thing right now. And then they feed back. You can do things right now that you never dreamed possible. You don't know what God's going to do with whatever you do. So with whatever He does, hey, you know, praise God. It's not you, it's Him. But you don't have to have the formula figured out. You know, you don't have to have, look, you don't have to have your funding in place before you do something. You know, I remember that. Like when people would try to go do a lot of stuff, and they were like, they just thought of the things of God in a very commercial and business way. Look, there's nothing wrong with you using the natural mind God has given you. But you've got to, that's got to be submitted and under the authority and the lordship of the Spirit of God. You know, His Spirit is there leading and guiding you, and that natural mind that you have is a tool. But you don't have to have all the pieces together before. You don't. You do not have to have all the pieces together before. So, you know, I struggle sometimes with that as well, because I know that there's something in our natural being that we want those things together. You want to know. You really want to know, okay, what's you know, the way forward in this? What's the exact plan? But you know what? It takes the romance out of it. You know, this life was meant to be romance and a romantic expression of the love of God. God wooing back, you know, His bride. We are the bride of Christ. And Christ Jesus laid down His life for us, that we might live in Him. I mean, it's an amazing analogy and an amazing understanding of who we are in Him. I mean, it's a reality. It's not an analogy. It's a reality. It's an amazing reality of who we are in Him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, wow. But, you know, in the middle of your struggle, you know a few things. One, that this life, in all that it is passing away. And we're only here for a window of time. And once that window of time is done, you and I are out of here. We won't continue in this place, in this paradigm, for a lot longer. But while we're here, God has some things for you to do. You know, while we're here, God has some experiences for you and I to go through to enhance us to be what He made us to be while we're here, in this life, in this dimension. You know, God wants when your eternal soul is ready to leave this world, He wants for in the core of your being for you to be on that track with Him in the right way and to be brought to the fullness of who God intended you to be in this life in Christ Jesus. He wants that for you. You know, that's His goal for you. That's His plan. You know that whole Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. You know, plans for a hope and a future. You know, the plans, where do they come from? Well, they come from Him. And they come from what His plan and intention is for you as you would follow, you know, His plan and purpose and His word and His will. Oh, no, it's a good thing. So, yeah. You know, with all that goes on in this life, in this world, take heart, because He's overcome the world. You don't have to worry about anything. You can trust Him. He's going to take care of you. And when you get into a tough spot, you just got to learn to pray. Don't try to do things in yourself and in your own flesh. Just learn to pray and ask for God to lead and direct and guide you and to help you to do that which He has for you to do in the situation. Sometimes He's just trying to teach you. Sometimes He wants you to go through something. Sometimes it's not yours to fight. He just wants you to move out of the way. And so, you know, it just depends on where things are. But you got to seek Him. If your face is turned towards Him, you're going to be fine. Because if your face is turned 100% towards God, He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. Because seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, i.e. turn your face 100% towards God. And keep it there. And if you do that, you know, every need that you have will be taken care of. And He's done that. And He'll continue to do that. He's going to continue to watch over His people, take care of those that are His, that love Him and trust Him. And in this process of them walking this life out, they will live the abundant life and know what it is to be a follower and disciple of Christ Jesus. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We love to hear from you guys. We love to get your mails. And, you know, we just pray God's blessing upon your lives as you continue to walk with and trust Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, so drop us an email. Love to hear from you. And we'll catch up again real soon. All right, talk to you later. Bye.